Okay, thank you for coming. We really appreciate you more than you could probably ever know. But I think even more, the Lord appreciates you because it takes prayer to save a nation. That's the way He designed it, and it is still that way. So to have intercessors praying for America when the ministry that they're praying with has been, what is the word I want? When the Lord has called that ministry specifically to pray for the nation, or the nations, and He has granted them a very special mantle to get things done. It's a very important ministry to be established with, and that's where we stand at present. I'm sure He has other prayer ministries that He has that kind of agreement with. I just know that ours is of that nature. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for believing in the Lord and believing in America. And the reason I say that is because God believes in America. Commissioned, someone wrote me. Yes, John, that's right. God believes in America. And because He believes in America, we're on His team if we believe in America enough to pray for this nation that we accomplish God's will in our nation at this point in time. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for praying with us tonight. I'm going to share with you what Ricky and I have been trying to do is to keep moving forward and giving you intercessors better understanding regarding union with Christ and the coming kingdom. The call is specific. It is powerful. I don't think anything touches the heart of God in this hour more than this call to the believer. He wants to bring you into union. He wants to bring you into the wholeness of the kingdom. Right now, most believers have never even heard of union, let alone reached it. And as a result, they're on the furthest bounds of the kingdom. If the Lord is enthroned in the nucleus of that kingdom, those who are not in union and depending upon where they're walking today are like encircling Him further and further away. If you look at, for instance, the rings in the hurricane vortex, they can be multiplied many times depending upon the size of the hurricane. But believe it or not, there really are rings in that storm center. And in the same respect, if the Lord is enthroned in the nucleus of His kingdom, there are, you might say, rings that surround that nucleus, and you can live on any ring you choose to, but you have to live the life that that ring requires to be able to do it. Why? Because the closer you get to Jesus, the stricter are the requirements. He'll help us, thank God for grace, huh? He'll help us. We need his help, no matter how much we love him. That love is coming, first of all, from him into our hearts. But he has to give us the grace to move into the greatest measure of that love, to be able to walk with him in the intense passion of his will. But when we have allowed him to strengthen us in that, it is a beautiful place to live. It is more than beautiful. It is wonderful. He's so close. He's so good. He's so kind. He's so wonderful. He allows us the privilege of not only touching his heart, but knowing and understanding his heart, actually bearing his heart. What a privilege. If you want to know who in the Bible has ever come that close to God, there are many, actually. We have people like Moses, Noah, Paul in the New Covenant, many of the apostles walked in that sacred place, and even those that maybe didn't draw exceedingly close were still close enough to have a very unique and special walk with Christ. But you see, John the Beloved, and the reason they call him that was because he was a man of intense love. He and his brother James, before Christ, were called sons of thunder because of their temperament. They both had a temper. Many got to see that temper. And because of their temperament, their dad gave them that name, Sons of Thunder. But we see in the book of Revelation and in the book of John, a man who is exceedingly mild, humble, bearing great love, tender, sensitive, marvelous, insightful love for the Lord and for his church. So you have the two extremes of the disciple right there in one man, and the same goes for Paul. So the Lord is calling out to those who will, draw near. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And as he cries out those words, those who are listening hear, and they respond. So that's what we're talking about week after week, is how to walk with God, how to walk with Jesus Christ in this marvelous, marvelous place. The Lord told me a few years ago, I want you to write a book about your journey in union. And at the time that he told me that, I thought, and I even said to him, Lord, there are others who know far more experientially about that walk than I do. Are you sure you wouldn't like someone else to do it? Because I would really want it to be done right for your glory. And he simply answered me, as he often does, will you do it? And I said, Well, yes, Lord, if you're sure that you want me to do it, yes, I will. And believe me, at that time I thought, I know so little, I'd be the worst person in the world to write a book like that. It would be so sacred, so holy. And although I like the idea of being sacred and holy, I thought I was just a babe in that realm. But since he took me into union in 2009, I've learned so much about him, and I've learned so much about walking with him. I've learned so much more about his beauty and his grace, his love, his care. But also walking in the fear of the Lord. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit more about tonight. Because of a truth, there is no such thing as union lest you walk in the fear of the Lord. You cannot have it. You wouldn't want to have it if you do not walk in that grace, because you couldn't endure it. He is wonderful, yes, but he's very strict. He's very strict, he's very authoritative, but gently so. But when he tells us to do something, he expects us to do it, and as only God would, it seems like the things that he tells us to do are the things we feel least likely able to do. So it requires so much greater dependence upon him to accomplish his will than ever before. So, and that grace comes in this blessing called the fear of the Lord. So let me get started in that. I've taken a long introduction tonight. I'm so sorry, but we may be able to make it up as I share with you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 20. We're looking for verse 18. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about this issue, the fear of the Lord. Out of all things that he requires for us to be able to walk closely with him, and moreover, in union with him, it is this, the fear of the Lord, first and foremost. Verse 18, we're going to start at the bottom of that verse, and I'm in the Amplified, so if you happen to have an Amplified on your phone or an Amplified Bible, better yet, and if you don't have it out, please pull it out. We will have other scriptures to look at tonight, so if you can do that now, you'd be happy. So verse 18 at the bottom of the verse says, they looked and they trembled with fear and fell back and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but let not God speak to us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, so that the reverential fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. And the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. There have been times when I have been engulfed with the fear of God, that I have felt those very words. I want you to talk to me, Lord. I want you to talk to me so badly. I want to talk to you. And I wasn't talking with my mouth. I was talking spirit to spirit, because that's because of the fear that was on me of his holiness, of his majesty. That's all I could utter. I didn't dare try to talk to him with my mouth. But spirit to spirit we talked. And I said to him, I want to talk to you so bad. I want you to talk to me. And I'm thinking about all the questions I've always wanted to ask but never was able to in the visitations that I had had. And if I could take that night to iterate to him some of my many questions, I thought that would be wonderful. But I was so terrified of him. I tell you the truth. He is majesty. He is majesty and he is holy. You don't mock him. You don't live in the world and say, I love you with all my heart, because that's a fallacy. That's hypocrisy. You can say to him, I want to love you with all my heart. Please fill my heart with your love. But he's the only one that can do it. And it will not hold up if you won't let go of the world. So this issue of turning from the world and the darkness of this dwelling place to the light of his glory is imperative. It is everything. In fact, perhaps you've never thought about this, but please let me introduce this thought to you, and maybe if you have thought about it, what I will say will confirm to you that you were thinking along the right path. May I say that Christ Jesus is light. His word is light. The Bible tells us that. His name is light, L-I-G-H-T. His spirit is light. His person is light. His voice, yes, even his voice is light. His kingdom is light. His people are light. He is light. One of the experiences that I had, actually part of one and most of another, wherein he was taking me into deeper levels of union, what he did to me to prepare me for his further entrance was, in one case, to imprint his name or the tetramerigan. I know I'm not pronouncing that right. I think John knows the proper pronunciation of it.
Tetragrammaton.
Pardon me?
Tetragrammaton.
Yeah. That is the four letters that make up the word Yahweh. And he sent down from heaven what looked to me like a laser beam of light. And it went directly into my heart and wrote those four Hebrew letters on my heart in fire. Was it painful? Yes. And he allowed me to watch those letters burn into my heart. it was exceedingly painful. It was fire. But it was sent by way of a laser beam of light. When he finished, he said to me, "Now you are mine, wholly mine." It meant everything in the world to me to hear those words, because I wanted to be wholly his. But I'm giving that example to help you see that his word is light. We know that his word is truth. It is holy truth. But if it's his word, it is also light. And that light is very, very compelling. Listen to this, if you will. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him, and he's speaking of Christ, was life, L-I-F-E. And the life was the light of men, L-I-G-H-T. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it. It's unreceptive to it. Verse 7, this man, speaking of John, came to witness that he might testify of the light, that all men might believe in it, adhere to it, trust it, rely upon it through him. He was not the light himself, but came that he might bear witness regarding the light, who was Christ. There it was, the true light was then coming into the world, and genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illumines every person. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. Nevertheless, he was the light, and he was the Son of God here to represent the Father in his own image. That's just one biblical description of it. There are many others. So we have here that his word is light, his name is light, his spirit is light, his person is light, his voice is light, his kingdom is light. His people are light. They are spirit. All these things are spirit. And spirit is light. Well, that is divine spirit, is light. If it's from the evil kingdom, they might call it light, but Jesus called it light full of darkness. So we don't even want to consider that. We're here to learn about the light of the glorious kingdom of which you and I are a part. The Lord does come to prove us, and this proving is to grant us the truth about himself. That truth, starting and ending, his majesty, his holiness, and so on, provokes in us the fear of the Lord, because he is great and greatly to be praised. He is above all and the creator of all. He speaks only truth. He regards only truth. He loves you and me. But his will is to create us into his image. We might say recreate us, into his image. But that cannot be if we cannot walk closely with him and moreover walk in him and allow him to walk in us. We must be transformed. And he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that has the power to do it. His spirit is light and it is life. And because this is true, and because he is truth, he is holy. And because he's holy, he is truth. All of these things working together have the power to recreate you and I into his image. For what reason? That we might be the children of the Almighty God. That we might become the heirs of this kingdom of light. That we might become the true brothers of Jesus Christ. Or in the case of some of us, the true sisters of Jesus Christ. Made into his image. It's a beautiful thought, but I think most people would think, impossible. Not possible. No, not possible. And it isn't. You're absolutely right. It's as not possible as anything can be, but God specializes in the impossible. And he loves to take his children and remake them into his glorious image. He loves to do it. He is the Father of light, and he's the King of the Kingdom of Light. And my dear brothers and sisters, if you're born again, you have made the path into the new kingdom. But now you must be transformed into the image of the Holy One of that kingdom. This is something only he can do, but he wants to do it. He wills to do it, and out of his mighty love, he will do it if we will let him, if we will allow him, and if we will work with him. So he cannot tell us, be love. And we go continue being ornery, temperamental, angry, manipulative, controlling, and expect to be changed into the image of our Lord. Not going to happen. We have to humble ourselves. We have to ask him first and foremost, please write this down, Lord, give me the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that I might regard your ways more than mine, that I might love your life more than mine, that I might desire to be remade into your image. Please give me the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and keep praying for that until he does it. It's going to mean you'll come into a greater level of obedience, but you will also be given a greater level of knowledge and understanding of our God and the power to walk in this deeper level of obedience. He never requires us to do anything that he won't do through us, because he knows this life must come by and through him to us. Now the Bible says here that the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. What are you going to do? Are you going to stand back and shun the light? Shun the fire, shun the voice of God because it's a fearful thing? Or are you going to be like Moses and humble yourself and draw near to the God of all creation, that he might do for you, do for me what he did for Moses? What are we going to do with this, our God? Let's turn to Psalm 44. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself and given distinction to him who is godly, the man of loving kindness. The Lord listens and heeds when I call to him. And this is true. If you talk to the Lord today and it seems like the heavens are brass, you might ask God if there's sin in your heart that needs to be dealt with by his Spirit. He may answer you, and you may not at like first like the answer, but if you will receive it and humble yourself and ask him to do the necessary surgery, he will do it for you. But like a patient on the bed, you will have to be still and see that he is God. The Bible says further in verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own hearts upon your beds and be silent. Sorry for the things that you say in your hearts. You'd be amazed at the amount of Christians who don't want to repent. They really believe they don't need to repent. They believe that they are so holy just because they're saved that everything they do is quite fine and is no longer considered sin. None of this is true. That is a delusion. We have what the Bible refers to as a sinful nature. It isn't our soul, but it resides in our soul. And as long as that thing is living in us, we are in sin. Just by being awake in the morning, let alone our thoughts, our sinful thoughts, our sinful desires, our sinful actions. As we're sensitive to him and we see these things, we can ask him to forgive us and to remove these things and exchange it for his life. And he will start moving in that direction for us. Not only because he's a good God, but because he wants relationship. And he knows that he cannot draw you near enough to the relationship that he wants to give you as long as there's sin in your life, as long as there's sin in your heart. But he will cover it, keep covering it with the blood if you repent. If you don't, then he doesn't. It's that simple. Stand in awe and sin not. If you know him, as Christ knew our Father, as Paul knew the Lord, as John the Beloved knew the Lord, as Peter knew the Lord, as Moses knew the Father, if you knew him, you would stand in awe of him because he is holy. And although we belong to him and we're loved by him, we are not yet holy. We're working on it, but we're not there, we're not yet there. So this word, stand in awe, listen to what it means. It's kind of scary, but kind of beautiful. It means to quiver with violence. And the quivering is what happens on the inside of us when we get near to the Holy God, who is our Father. And that's a very good sign. If we're close enough to Him to enter into that quivering, then we are very close to His holiness and very close to being able to be remade by Him. You desire this, whether you know it or not. Let Him grant this to you. And it's called the fear of the Lord. This fear of the Lord causes this quivering. Then we look at Isaiah 66. Let's go there for a moment. 66, 1 and 2, and it says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." What kind of a house would you build for me? And what kind can be my resting place? For all these things my hand has made, and so all these things have come into being by and for me, says the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look, and this is such good news. But this is the man to whom I will look and have regard. He who is humble and of a broken and contrite spirit. In one translation, it will say a wounded spirit, but it's the same word in the Hebrew. And who trembles at my word and reveres my commandment. This contrite spirit is developed out of the fear of the Lord and creates this trembling, this inner trembling that I'm talking to you about. When you come to the Lord or come to the Word, and you're reading the Word and suddenly you start trembling, it's because He is drawing near to you. He is stirring up that contrition of heart that allows Him to draw near to you and you to draw near to Him. Isn't that exciting? He who is afar off is really near. He whose arm is strong enough is really holding you. This is wonderful news. Although it sounds a little scary, it really isn't. It is the best news you've heard all day long. If you have this gift placed within you, you have the fear of His word like you have the fear of Him. When you look at His word, when you read His word, when you meditate on His word, when you study His word, it enters into your heart as life. The light of that word goes in and begins to change and transform your inner man. And you find yourself hungering and thirsting after Him. As though you were going to die if He didn't let that door be open to you, take you into the depths, and allow you to know the beauty of His majesty and His holiness and the glory of His love. Who will He look to? He who is humble and of a contrite heart or wounded spirit, and who trembles at my word and reveres my commandments. You cannot live in that place with God if you can read His word and walk away from it and think He doesn't require anything of you. Because he does. Out of his great love, his great passion, he requires that the world be eradicated out of your soul, and his love, his holiness, his righteousness, his glory be poured into your heart. He requires it that he may keep you on his lap for the rest of your life on this earth. It's a good thing. It's not something to run from, and it certainly isn't something to be ignored. If you do not have the heart to let him alter you, to transform you, to change you into his image, then wherever you stop and say, I don't want you to touch any more of the inside of me, Lord. I love you, but I don't want to get any closer. That is as close as you will ever get. How do you say that? When you see the word, you see what it says, you hear what he says in your heart, and you disregard it. That's where you draw the line. So tonight, I ask you to come to him. Let him subdue you. Let him smite you. Let him grant you that brokenness, that contrition that honors his holiness. Let him fill you with his godly sorrow. Let him create in you the indignation, the godly indignation against sin, the vehement desire against sin, and to live in righteousness and in holiness, in zeal, and the revenge towards sin in your own life. Let him grant that to you. Ask him for it. 2 Corinthians 7:10-11, ask him for it. And tell him, I will not stop asking until you grant this, my Father. For I am now yours, and I want to be remade in your image. That kind of prayer, that kind of heart, will melt his heart toward you. And he will move heaven and earth to help you find that place of rest in him. Now I want to finish this by saying this. I walk in union. He's granted deeper and deeper levels of union to me over the years. But even now, we are not finished with that process. And he tells me that that process will go on the rest of my life, where he adds more and more and more of himself to me. That makes me very happy, because the more there is of him, the less there has to be of me. He has crucified my sinful nature. Paul talks about that in Romans 6 and 7. And as he crucified my sinful nature, he filled me with himself. It's an infilling that has been consistently going on for a period of years and will be the rest of my life. And I would have it no other way. I love knowing him. I love the privilege of being in his presence, of walking in his presence during the day, and resting in his presence at night. He is a wonderful, wonderful God. And if you don't have him in that way, you are missing the best of God. in this life. So I implore you, put away all the excuses, just throw them in the trash and say, Lord, I'm yours to do with what you will, that I may have what you will to give me. And mean it with all your heart. We love you. We love you so much. Please let me take a minute and pray for you right now. Lift your hands to Jesus and let me pray for you. For I desire this for you. I desire it because our Lord desires it. Are you ready? Father, how great you are. How great you are, Lord. Glorious in holiness, fearful in majesty, Lord. Wonderful in your workings, glorious in all your ways. We worship you tonight, Lord. By your grace and your power, we pour out our heart, and may it be a heart of love and submission to you and your holiness. Remake us into your image, Lord, and please don't stop. Give us the grace to move ever forward. Please don't stop. Make us into your image that we may bring you glory on this earth. And we will thank you forever, Lord. Father, I pray for these, that you will grant them the fear of the Lord, that you will start preparing even tonight, that you will let your spirit come upon them tonight, and they will feel the tug in their heart to move forward, to move upward in you, to be filled with the fear of the Lord and the love of God as they have never known. Let your fire come upon them tonight, Lord. Let your glory be seen in them tonight. Let them shake and tremble in the power of your presence. And Lord, if that's not something they can endure tonight, begin tonight to prepare them for that. We thank you, Lord. Ami krasi vibeno. Sholo bavaran tale kusum brend alekeven sikiota. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you so much. But we know that to love you more, you must do it through us. So we ask you to do that, Lord. Let the chambers of our heart be filled with the glory of your love. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.